On Thursdays, we read from listener letters, and this week, several listeners wrote about what Thomas Hazlett said about television.
Mr. Hazlett, who works at the Manhattan Institute, thinks we should eliminate all over-the-air free television, use that spectrum for other purposes, and let people watch television only delivered by cable or satellite. He says 90% of American homes have those connections already.
Listener Joe Shaper writes this: I invite Thomas Hazlett to venture out to the land of bunny ears, non-cable satellite occasional viewers of VHF broadcasting. I think he may find more people there than he suspects. It's likely the surveys he quotes are skewed by non-responses from people like me, who will never get cable or satellite so long as those companies require you to take a package deal. I will regret it if we, many of us TV kids of the 1960s, are consigned to Amishness because broadcast goes away. However, I won't regret it to the tune of $50 or more a month for programming which is tasteless, pointless, and painfully disjointed to watch.
And this from Lindsay Hanahan in Denver, Colorado. I cannot afford hundreds of dollars a year, $600 on average, to have cable. Many of the people I know who do have cable don't watch more than 5 to 8 stations anyway. So why does everyone have cable? Marketing.
In the story this week on the indictment of Martha Stewart, we heard Kurt Barnard of the Barnard Retail Report pose this rhetorical question. He said, do you really believe that Mrs. Smith is going to go to a Kmart store and see this pillowcase in the shade of pink that she adores? Do you think she's going to say, I wish I could buy it, but I can't. Miss Stewart is under indictment?
Well, we received this from C. Lincoln in Shawnee, Oklahoma. I don't know about the Mrs. Smiths of the world, but this Mrs. Lincoln has been taking a long and careful look and has been avoiding purchasing anything of Mrs. Stewart's since I heard of the alleged wrongdoing. Saving money and looking nice is one thing. Supporting someone who is more interested in her financial bottom line than doing the right thing, that's entirely another.
And Tom Stepka of Annandale, Virginia, wrote to us after hearing Margot Adler's story about a licensing exam for New York City tour guides. He writes, Justin Ferrate, who is promoting a test of knowledge of the city, states that they had to cut a hole in the 150-foot-tall ceiling at Grand Central Station to erect a Redstone rocket. According to the Encyclopedia Aeronautica, the height of the launcher itself is less than 65 feet, and even with the warhead, it would not come close to bumping the ceiling. Something doesn't add up.
Mr. Stepka was one of several listeners who raised this point. He loses points for speaking of Grand Central Station. It is Grand Central Terminal. But as for the larger point, Justin Ferrate has a reply, or rather, several of them.
First, Mr. Ferrate informs us the rocket was on a pedestal, and he has been told in the past that the reason for cutting a hole in the ceiling was to allow for hoisting the rocket while placing it in position. But since hearing from our diligent listeners, he says, he has gone back to various sources.
And he reports as follows. One historian with whom I spoke indicated that her research was inconclusive. She even suggested that, in her opinion, the story of the Redstone rocket might possibly be apocryphal, although she had no alternative proposal for the origin of the hole in Grand Central Terminal's magnificent starry sky. Who knows what further research will reveal.
Our address is atc@npr.org. We read from your letters every Thursday, and when you write to us, please remember to tell us where you're writing from and how you pronounce your name. This is NPR, National Public Radio.